scripture says that if we think that we love our kids, how much more does the Father love us? And getting to know Cal, I just have so much more grace and compassion for, you know, the mistakes that he makes, and teaching him and wanting him to go in the right way. He's my greatest treasure. It's sometimes hard to picture that God feels that way about us.
The Kane family is in a stage of life where they're learning a lot about the love of God by raising their own kids. The brother and sisters trio of Logan, Taylor, and Madison each have kids just over a year old who are riding the tour bus with them as they share their music all over the country. I hope you can spend some time with us as we connect with Madison, the middle sibling of this joy-filled trio, and talk about life on the road, raising kids, and their newest album, Jesus Music.
Well, Madison, welcome to the conversation this morning.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yes, we're so excited.
I already have loved chatting with you.
Yeah.
So this is perfect for me.
Yeah, love it. So first of all, you're coming to Nebraska very soon.
Yes. It's going to be great. I think that we're in red that night. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yay!
Red's the colors. Most people probably know what we're talking about, but not everybody does.
So if you don't know, I'm sure it's so confusing to be like, why are we all wearing the same color? This is creepy. That's sort of how we started wearing one color, was sort of like we were getting into arguments all the time about what we're supposed to be wearing. And you know how you have your best outfit, and if you make someone else match you, you're putting them in their worst outfit.
Right.
So that was the argument that we kept putting ourselves in, is like one of us always felt like they were putting the others in something that didn't go, you know? So Taylor, before our first album photo shoot, was like, let's just all wear blue. That'll look nice. We'll look cohesive, but then everyone can wear what they want. That ended up being so much fun that we just started doing that from now on. Every show we'd wear a color. And then when it was time to do our headline tour, we started noticing people messaging us, hey, what color are you wearing? We want to match. So we decided, okay, maybe people don't want to do it, but let's just go ahead and put out the colors in advance and see if everybody will wear the same color. It has been just so life-giving. Just, you know how you feel when you go to a football game, basketball game, and everyone's kind of got a jersey on, or it already puts the atmosphere in that realm. Everyone, and people are wearing stuff they normally wouldn't, but they feel like comfortable and fun in it. They don't feel out of place.
Now, you do realize that red is the color of Nebraska, right? So the Nebraska Cornhuskers are red. So lots of people in Nebraska are used to wearing red.
Okay. So it's not going to be something where the husbands in the room are like mad at their wives making them wear it.
Oh, no.
Okay, good. There's been a couple. I feel like red is pretty good. Like, we tried to go away with any color that would make you feel awkward, but there's sometimes when we do yellow that the guys are like, I don't have anything yellow. Don't make me wear yellow.
Have you done pink?
I love it when we wear pink. Logan vetoed pink this tour because he was just like, number one, he's like, I get enough comments about the clothes I'm wearing. I'm like, I don't want that anymore. Number two, because of my skin tone, I look like a thumb. But yeah, I'm still asking for pink all the time.
We're going to talk a lot about music today, of course. First of all, before we get to know you more as an artist, we'd love to get to know you as a sister in Christ and hear how you came to know Jesus.
This is something I've been thinking about a lot because my parents, they raised me so well and so intentionally that when we were taught to read, they did little strips and they made them little memory verse strips. So before I could even know whatever I was reading, we would memorize scripture, and then dad would pray for us at night, and we would, so it was like this constant thing of like, I felt like the disciplines of being a Christian were worked into my life before I actually knew I had a need for a savior.
So good.
So that's hard to necessarily pinpoint, but then it is amazing how these things get buried in your heart. They get buried in your heart. So then you're able to like call upon these. So I feel like, man, I have memory of being a teenager going to church camp. I can't pinpoint it in a moment, but I definitely have had seasons where I'm like walking away from the Lord in the way of just like not obeying God. And really, I feel like that was a huge part of our testimony for being Kane the band, is we pursued country music right out of college. And that's fine, except I also let myself completely drift out of church, out of any kind of communion with the Lord. And I got to reap the full consequences of that. Just absolutely depressed, broken, anxious, purposeless. And so we laid down music for a season. And then I focused on these things, tithing, serving in church, spending time in prayer and worship. And it really is wild how the fruit of my life was able to flip around. So that was a long answer that could have been like, I'm not exactly sure when it happened, but yeah. There have definitely been seasons of like, woo, like, you think you're a good girl.
Yeah. I tell people, you know, as I've had conversations about this in the past, I say, you know, if I decide I want to go north, I just start walking north. At some point, I'm going to cross over into the North Pole, or, you know, when I got there, don't know, but it's obvious that I'm there now. You know what I'm saying? So like, people walking towards God, and you know, when did that actual salvation experience, when did I really come to know him in a personal, real way? I don't know. I'm there now. Like, I know I'm there.
Right. That really is such a great, great way to put it. But it's something that I really respect my parents. And even more so, I've been just so in the zone of like keeping my son alive and fed and all of that stuff that it's like, oh my goodness, for them to have written out memory verses and pinning them up. And we walk through, I think it's Psalm 33 or so. We were working through a longer memory verse. Mm-hmm. And so just, it's like, I have so much to live up to. If I want Cal to have any semblance of the childhood I have, it showed how intentional they were with us.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
Working on it.
And you were just mentioning your son, Cal, right? Mm-hmm. And that 1 year old, is he one now?
One. Yeah. One and... in 2 months. So he's walking, he's found the dog food, he finds Glade plugins if they're low enough.
Oh my.
So talking about exercise, I may be in for it.
Yeah. So absolutely.
It's pretty amazing. So me and my brother and sister all had a baby last year. And so we put cribs in the bus. And so it's been us and our spouses and then 3 1-year-olds. So they act like triplets. And then Logan just had his second baby.
Wow.
2 days ago.
Wow. That's so good. As a mom, have you learned anything new from that experience as far as what God's like?
I think I've been selling God's love for me short. Mm. I really think that I've been underestimating his mercy and love for me and getting to know Cal, I just have so much more grace and compassion, just so much compassion for him, for, you know, the mistakes that he makes and teaching him and wanting him to go in the right way. And scripture says that if we think that we love our kids, how much more does the Father love us?
Hmm.
So I think that like when people are like, oh, then whenever you have a child, it's going to show you so much more about the love of God. And, you know, through like the birthing experience and that kind of stuff, I'm like, okay, I don't know if I necessarily learned anything about God yet. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just sort of like, oh my gosh, I'm like, you know, but just getting to know him, and just, he's my greatest treasure.
Hmm.
And it's sometimes hard to picture that God feels that way about us, especially me. So
love that.
God is always at work among us.
The purpose of the Navigators, a college campus ministry, is to know Christ, make him known, and help others do the same. Brian leads the Navigators on the University of Nebraska-Lincoln campus, and a fellow staff member leads their ministry focus on international students.
He had a connection with a Chinese student and started talking about Jesus, identified with Christ, and started a friendship with him. Eventually shared this illustration that sums up the main theme of the Bible.
This student had felt his emptiness, his spiritual need, and as he connected with this staff member, that spiritual concern led to conviction and taking a life-changing step.
This Chinese student decided he wanted to pray to receive Christ, which is cool for anyone, but especially for Chinese students. That's almost unheard of, to have that quick of a connection and response.
But it's the only response when God is moving in your heart. This student made a spiritual U-turn as he repented and committed his life to following Jesus in an expression of saving faith.
So now our staff guy is starting to establish this student in his walk with Jesus and starting to disciple him and getting him connected to our community.
God is on the move, and we are celebrating how he is moving in the lives of college students, drawing them to himself through college ministries like the Navigators. God is doing something
right now. My Bridge Radio, celebrating God at work among us. Share your story and join the conversation in the Connect Now section at mybridgeradio.net.
Your new album, Jesus Music, right, was released this last month, which is so congratulations on that, first of all. So,
oh my gosh, yeah. Thank you.
So tell us about putting it together, like kind of the theme and how'd the process go?
Oh, yes. Okay, so, you know, first album, we weren't touring, so we wrote 100 songs.
Wow.
And picked 10. This year, it was just sort of like, you know, you have a day off, write a song. Oh, and then we're writing songs via text message with each other.
That's fun.
You're sending videos back and forth. It's just so much. It's just such a different experience the second time around. But we had the benefit of getting to play these songs out and see which ones connect. And so it's my favorite album. I definitely have those, like, just those feelings of, like, inviting everyone to your birthday party and see if anyone shows up. That it definitely, I feel the vulnerability of putting myself out there. But each song on this has a story and a lived experience. We have a song in there called 10 and 2. It's a song that we wrote about driving our kids home from the hospital and the perspective of just everything that you're fearing. So, what my favorite. So imagine you're in the car, it's 10 and 2, and the chorus says, like, something tells me everything's about to change, and it scares me in the very best of ways because I'm new at this and you're new at this, but we're headed down this road growing up together and learning as we go. And I'm just like, crying.
It's not.
So it just means so much to me. And the reason why we chose Jesus Music as the title for everything we wanted to have a lot of songs that reminded us of our childhood, how we grew up with What Would Jesus Do bracelets and listening to Stephen Curtis Chapman and calling into radio stations. And so we wanted this experience for the next generation. And so we have a song on there called Jesus Music that all the verses are just song titles of other Christian songs. Hmm. So God of Wonders, Mighty to Save, 10,000 Reasons. So we're paying homage to the people that have come before us.
Yes, that's so good. Yeah, love that. So I'm curious, you were talking about writing and writing through texting and all the different ways that you guys are writing right now. Do you all equally write songs? Do two of you, one of you? Like, how does that work?
It ends up going the best when the three of us are writing something and then we bring in someone to help. So for instance, when we're out on the road, there's a song called Through Jesus, and we had 10 songs and Taylor just kept feeling like, I don't feel like the record is done. Like, I feel like we're missing this declarative piece about just the victory that we have in Jesus. We want fun songs. We want slow songs. You know, you're trying to kind of hit all the pieces of you, but we don't have anything that would be like, yes, he can. Something that is declaring the truths about God and something that shows some overcoming victory. We want people to walk away knowing the victory they have in Jesus. So we're talking about that. We start sitting around the piano and then it's like, we're so busy. So we send that voice memo to a producer and then he works on it and he sends a voice memo back. I'm thinking this. So instead of sitting down and writing a song in 6 to 8 hours, which is what is typical, it took like a week of just here and there going back and forth. So there's one song on the album called Now That I Know You that Taylor wrote without us. And it's something that had been sitting in the Dropbox for years. And it kept being like, man, this song is really so good. So we need to either let it go, pitch it to somebody else, or we need to own it.
That sounds like a fun process, meaningful process.
So fun. Yeah. And it's something where you get to fully express yourself without the impending feeling of how people are going to receive it. Mm. You get to just be like, oh, this sounds great. I love it.
Listen for the Difference, helping keep you connected to God and each other through life-giving messages, stories, and songs shared all day long on MyBridge Radio.
So, Madison, the first song that we've been playing here from your latest album, Jesus Music, is Anymore.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, tell us
Thank
about that
you.
Song.
Yes. Okay. So talking about, you know, what made me boohoo earlier was talking about the love of God and, you know, what can separate us from the love of God. Romans 8 talks about that. No height, no death. There's nothing. And so that was one of the first songs that we've written since having kids. And so it was the idea of like, okay, if we're going to write a song from the perspective of God speaking to us, I'm going to write from the perspective of me speaking to my son. Because it's the same heart. It's the heart of a parent, the heart of a father. It's one of those songs we got to write it with Matthew West and Jeff Pardo. And it's just so good. You could just tell when you've hit something that you love, we all are jumping around. Anymore, jump, jump. So thank you for playing that song. Yeah. It really, the kids, those that anymore. So they've been asking for that one.
That's fun. One of the other songs on your new album is called Windows Down, and it's a very personal song about Logan's wife, right? Emily coming to know Jesus. Yeah, tell us about that.
Oh, see, that is another thing that when someone does not grow up in the church, is not encouraged to be a Christian, and you see them radically come to know Jesus through an encounter with God, it renews your faith in such a wild way of like, oh, okay, you weren't taught what I was taught, but you have experienced the same thing. She even, anyways, I'll start from the beginning. I'm getting ahead of myself. But this song was written because Emily, kind of unbeknownst to me for a while, was struggling with alcoholism. And something where, you know, when people drink a lot in high school or drink a lot, I mean, started in middle school or in college, a lot of times people will be like, oh, kids. But she just noticed that she couldn't get a handle on it. And so through that experience, she and my brother broke up. This is when they were dating. They broke up for a period of time because it was unsustainable for her life. And, you know, it was causing a rift between them. During her breakup, she just really hit rock bottom. And she was just crying, and she was driving home from work. And she was just like, it felt like the presence of God just hit my car to the point where I couldn't see to drive. So I had to pull over. And she's like, I felt like God just downloaded all this stuff about like, don't you see that a relationship could have never fulfilled you? All these things will never fulfill you. It's me alone. And so she would just said, okay, God, if you're real, I need you. And from that point, she got baptized. She started all the things that she was reading in scripture that were confusing to her, made her feel like she was out of place. She was like, it all made sense to her. She, you know, she had the Holy Spirit in her to help decipher these things. It was just amazing to get to write her story. And then I guess it was just a couple of days ago, she hit her 5 year of sobriety.
Wow.
So yeah. So it's just been amazing. And it's been so cool for her to be so open about her testimony, because so many people are struggling with alcoholism, or their family members are, or some sort of substance abuse. And so it's just so great to be able to say like, hey, here's an example of God working in that, both daily and miraculously.
Wow, that's so good. One of the things that we get to do all the time, obviously, here is hear from our listeners kind of what God's doing in their heart through the music.
And, yes.
You know, one of the songs that we heard about recently from one of our listeners, one of the Cain songs, is Honest Offering. We play it on Sundays. Yeah, I would love to hear a little bit about that song.
I love that song. So I'm trying to think. I don't think it's a parable. I think it's a true story where Jesus is seeing a widow give all that she has, which is an equivalent to a penny or like 2 pennies. I was trying to, like, is that a parable or no? I think he was just watching and was saying, this woman gave everything that she had. And so we tried to channel that into our own lives and writing the song of like, okay, I am waiting to give you anything so I can like kind of get myself put together and then come into worship. This was an idea of like, okay, you just want my heart. Here it is, all of my heart. And we recorded that song live. So we're usually pretty perfectionist when it comes to recording and going through and making sure the drums are right or the vocals are right. And so for this collection of worship songs, we wanted to give an honest offering, just sing and capture what happened in the room versus trying to make it perfect. Yeah, that just makes me so happy that that connected with somebody else. But I love tagging it together with I Surrender All. That's something that we grew up singing, and so it's just a little modern take on that old hymn.
Before I let you go, let's do a little speed round here. So pretty quick.
Okay, I'll answer.
One is favorite Bible verse.
Ooh, Okay, I call this the sorting verse, okay? John 10:10. Hmm. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you'd have life and that more abundantly.
Love it.
That way you can sort, hey, is this God or is this not?
Good, love that. Okay, favorite book outside of the Bible that you've read?
Ooh. Okay, so I'm working on a sissy goth book right now. It's called Are My Kids on Track? And my dad was like, you are not allowed. I'm already obsessed with making sure that I'm doing a perfect job. So dad's like, I'm taking this book away. So, but I also like to read like little mystery books and stuff. So I started reading this, The Woman in Cabin 10, yeah. But maybe I shouldn't because it's like, it's going to make me scared at night. But you know what? Like, that is truly, like, you can make a movie in your mind by reading these little stupid novel books. So, also one of my favorite authors, I'm at my nightstand, so Annie F. Downs.
Mm.
So, we're lucky enough to be friends with her. So, but yes, that, okay, I got to be lightning. Sorry.
All right. Okay, favorite life hack?
Life hack? This is what gets me in trouble, but ordering your groceries. Mm. It's not economic at all. But whenever you're like, for us, we're going to be home. Like, we're out on the bus, we're home for 48 hours. To be able to shop while you're laying in bed and then you wake up and it's there. What?
All right. Favorite song, not a Kane song.
Favorite song.
Yeah.
Not a Kane song. Yeah. Okay. I'm just going to, since it's lightning, I'm just going to go with what's coming to mind. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bryan Adams, Everything I do it for you.
Mm.
It, for some reason, that song just makes it feel, it's just like, don't tell me, it's not worth trying. And so it just makes you feel like, I love.
So good. That's awesome. So, Madison, thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time today. And, you know, as we talked about before we got on the air today, that you got a couple of sick ones in your family. So I know it was an extra sacrifice to get on today. So thank you.
No, just thank you for the prayers.
All right, my sister. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much. You have a great day.
We know your time is valuable, so we're grateful you chose to spend some of it listening to Morning Conversation, the podcast. If God used this content to bless you, we'd love to have you share it with a friend. For more conversations like this, along with songs of hope and stories of God at work, we invite you to listen to MyBridge Radio. Hear it on the MyBridge Radio app or listen online at mybridgeradio.net.